Welcome to another edition of Mormonland. I'm managing editor Dave Noyce, and I oversee our faith coverage. I'm joined once again by senior religion reporter Peggy Fletcher Stack. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Dave.
Good to see you. Amid the nation's reawakening on the issue of systemic racism, Brigham Young University president Kevin Worthen conceded that, quote, there is work to do, end quote, on that front, even at the school's Provo campus. Many BYU students and alumni agree, and for starters, a group of them have called on officials to rebrand the administration building. Given that it bears the name of Abraham Smoot, a former benefactor and Provo mayor who owned slaves. Two of the activists behind the effort, Tristan Quist and Cole Stewart Johnson, join us today via Zoom to talk about the issue. Tristan, Cole, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both here. Well, let's start with both of you, but first, maybe Cole, with you. When did you first become aware of Smoot's past?
I think it wasn't until this summer that I really became aware of it. And it was actually after Tristan reached out to me and started talking to me about it that I started looking into it a little bit more and became more aware of it than I was in my past years here at BYU.
Yeah. And what year are you at BYU right now?
I'm about to be a junior.
Okay. So Tristan, how did you become aware of it?
I actually became aware of it through my brother-in-law. We were just having a conversation, and he mentioned some of the scholarships that he had kind of learned about from Joanna Brooks at San Diego State. She just recently released a book you guys are probably aware of. And so that kind of initiated my research process. And then I did some more research into the topic and found out some of this information.
Right. Yeah. Joanna, we actually had on Mormon Land last week, I believe. And she talked about her new book. So Tristan, keeping with you, how did this renaming kind of effort get started?
Right. So when I found out that Abraham O. Smoot had been somebody who enslaved people, I kind of came up with this idea to begin a petition that the Smoot building should be renamed and that should be considered. And my main reason for doing it was that I wanted to make sure that everybody on campus feels safe and feels welcome. And I think that what we name, you know, an administration building in particular, the building that houses kind of the highest officers at the university, that says something. And I think that there are appropriate kind of people to honor in that regard, and probably people that aren't appropriate to honor in that way.
So how did you get this movement going in, and who's been helping you do it?
Yeah, so after I kind of did a little bit of research into it, I reached out to Coleman Packer, who is another alum of BYU, and then also Cole, who we have on today, that is a current student.
Good. Cole, why did you join the effort?
I think the reason why I joined is because I think one thing I think is super important is that everybody feels welcome and accepted. And, you know, I personally don't feel like there should ever be a point where we're trying to change people as they're on campus, change the way you see the world or anything like that. And so I felt like this would be a really great way of showing that BYU wants to be more diverse, but also accept people where they're at in their journey, whether it be their journey in faith or just their journey in life and trying to discover themselves.
So what's been the response so far from the administration, from faculty, from other students? What have you heard? What, good, bad, indifferent?
I think we're lucky because BYU just recently created a committee that's going to focus on these issues. You know, it's a little sad that a lot of universities in the country are waiting until now to create something like that. But we have been able to get into contact with them You know, they are a new committee, so they're still trying to work out everything on their end. And so we're on their radar, and we hopefully soon will be able to sit down and start discussing with them, you know, what we're bringing to the table with this idea of rebranding or renaming the administration building.
Interesting. Have you heard any, have you gotten any critical emails on social media, people telling you to, you know, back off or anything like that?
Yes, certainly. I mean, I think that whenever, you know, you're advocating for change, you're going to receive some resistance to that. People who want to keep the status quo. So there's certainly been some pushback on social media. Nothing from the administration or anything like that thus far. But for the most part, I think that I have been really uplifted actually to see the amount of support, both in signatures. I think we're at over 750 signatures so far, which is pretty good for the amount of time that the petition has been up. And then also just people reaching out. I've had people reach out and kind of express gratitude to us for taking this on. So,
Cole, what kinds of racism have you seen at the school? Where are you from originally, and how, you know, what's been your experience at BYU?
I'm from Texas, the Dallas area. For me, what I've seen the most, I've seen mostly microaggressions, at least in my own experience. And, you know, I think it's really important to say that, you know, I don't speak for all the BIPOC students at BYU. And everybody's experiences have been totally different. But for me, it's been mostly microaggressions or just like a lack of cultural awareness. And so people are, I guess, propagating ideas that to people of color, like it hurts. And they don't necessarily understand why that is. And for a lot of them, they haven't had an opportunity to really discuss and, I guess, understand the other perspective. And I think that's been one of the hardest things. And you can see this now, like throughout the country, a lot of people struggle to see the other perspective, the other side. And I think it's hard. It's not something that's like comfortable to recognize that there's something going on that you have never noticed. And so I think mostly it's been microaggressions for me. And then like just that lack of like cultural sensitivity or awareness.
What about you, Tristan? What have you seen or I guess you're graduated now, but what did you see at BYU in terms of racism?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think that kind of what Cole was articulating pretty well about a cultural awareness and sensitivity, and just perhaps kind of an unwillingness to or even just an ignorance of kind of the racist history that is entwined in Utah that Abraham Smoot is a part of. So I think that that's kind of what I see. And certainly, I mean, speaking of history, one of the common criticisms, and I think it comes over from the whole discussion about Confederate statues and things like that, is, you know, well, why are you trying to erase history? And I just want to make really clear that that is absolutely not what we're about. If there's anybody that wants people to know about this history and this kind of history, it's us. People need to know this history so that we can learn from it and that we can progress. But I think that there's a history that you put up in, you know, the public square or on a university campus, and then there's a history that goes into a museum and we learn about in textbooks. And we need to probably have some more critical thinking about what type of history slaveholding is in the United States and which one of those things we want it to be.
So, Cole, you mentioned the committee, and I, it's a question for both of you. Are that's just kind of getting started at BYU, is it kind of examining equity issues on the campus. Are you going to be able to give, or your group, of like a formal presentation request? I mean, do you guys have any idea how that might or could work? Tristan, you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, we've reached out to a member of the committee, members of the committee. Cole is in contact with one of the members. I am an acquaintance of another member, and expressed our interest, and they've kind of expressed back that they're just kind of getting started, but that they'd obviously like to speak with us. So we're looking forward to engaging with them going forward. As the petition gathers more signatures, we will kind of compile a list of those signatures and present it with a request formally to the administration, that the name of the administration building be changed and that these discussions be had.
Okay. You guys limited your petition to the Abraham Smoot situation. What about some of the other? Is that really the only focus you have, is to get the name changed?
Yeah, that is our focus. I mean, obviously, there's kind of both sides of these things. People who don't want anything to change, and then there's people who, you know, we get who have asked us to go further, and why not this person, and why not that person? Our focus is on Abraham Osmoot. I think we're pretty realistic and practical in what we can get accomplished and the resources that we have currently. And maybe conversations should be had about other things going forward, but for our intents and purposes currently, we're focused on this particular building.
So Cole, that was going to be one of my questions actually too. Cause there you have the J. Reuben Clark Law School, he certainly, and Ezra Taft Benson too, a science building that advocated segregation kind of ideas. You have the George Albert Smith Fieldhouse. You have other examples. Cole, do you feel like, now those are, of course, are many of those are top, if not the top, Latter-day Saint leaders. Do you feel like you're happy with just going after the Smoot building and just having conversations about these others? Or what do you think about that?
I think what Tristan said is really important, how right now our focus is the Smoot building. And where this will go, we're not 100% sure. But I think something that I was talking with my wife about yesterday was, you know, this isn't the first time that this has been brought up to the university about changing the name of the Smoot building. but one thing that I really believe firmly in, and like this has to do a little bit with my faith, but I believe that like God gives us multiple opportunities to do what's right. And right now, I think, you know, we've seen that the Smoot building has been a topic of discussion before, and we want to continue to give the university an opportunity to do the right thing. You know, I think there's a lot of pressures and a lot of things that are going on now that are kind of on our side. And, you know, those other buildings, like, you know, that'd be great to have a conversation about them at another point in time. But right now, I think we want to present the opportunity again to the university about the Abraham O. Smoot building, because this has been a topic in the past, and we're hoping this time it can be different.
So do you think changing the name of the building would actually do anything to eliminate racism at the school, or do you think is it just a gesture, or do you think it will actually lead to action?
So I think that at a larger scale, this could be, I know that there are other things that the university is in process of debating and discussing about, like different parts of the curriculum. But for me, I think this is a step for the university, I guess like a demonstration that like we are going this direction. And I think that's what people like, VIPOCs, that's what we need. Like, we need to feel like the university is moving that direction, and to be able to see them make one step, I guess, would give us greater hope, because there hasn't been many steps in the past that really validates our experiences on campus.
Would you like to see anything directly taught or understood about the priesthood temple ban? I mean, that's all part of the history of the Latter-day Saint faith, right? What could the school do about that?
I think we have to recognize that a lot of the issues that we face, especially when it comes to topics pertaining to things that have been taught in the past, mm-hmm. are traditions that are being passed down. You know, they're ideas that a father says at one point and their kid grabs it. And I think one thing that I think could be really good is using some religion classes, using greater diversity in the scholarly articles that they use. I know there are some religion professors that really push you to see all the different sides of the argument. And then there are others that kind of tiptoe around different topics because they're difficult and it makes a lot of students feel uncomfortable. But I think by presenting the information, and I don't want to say challenging people's faith, but helping them recognize that this is not the only way that things have been seen, and this isn't necessarily the correct way of viewing things, would help kind of bridge some of those gaps. Because I don't think often enough when it comes to our faith, we're challenged enough. And so we get complacent and we kind of just gravitate to these ideas that have been said before.
Tristan, what are your thoughts on what effect it could have by just changing the name on the Smoot building? Any kind of real effect or impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think Peggy is right in saying that, you know, this is a gesture. It's a symbolic move, but I think gestures are important, you know? I think it signals to the student body and to the larger community in Utah that BYU takes these issues seriously, and it acknowledges some of the issues of race that are on campus and wants to make changes. But I think you have to take that first step. If your administration building continues to be named after somebody who enslaved Black Americans, then it's difficult to be taken seriously that you really value these students, that you really have an interest and a stake in them feeling welcome on your campus.
You probably both noticed that Southern Virginia University, which is a private school, but caters to, Mormon students, changed the name of its main administration building from, a campus, I guess, the school inherited. Does that give you some hope that it could happen here, even though, like I say, Southern Virginia University is not affiliated with the church itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, they're not, BYU and Southern Virginia University aren't connected. But I think that they have offered a great example in recognizing, hey, this isn't right. This is not the message we want to be sending to our students and to the community. So we're going to do the hard thing and make the change. And I would encourage BYU to follow that example, to have the courage. And I do think it takes courage to make these kinds of changes because there is always pushback. I mean, like we mentioned, we've seen pushback on social media and things like that. And if BYU makes this change, it'll receive pushback. But if it doesn't, I think it's really sending the wrong message, and it's going to continue to receive, I guess, push for this change long into the future, I think.
What about Brigham Young himself? What do you think about changing the name of the school, or how should Brigham Young be presented to students?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a legitimate question to ask. I think, kind of like I mentioned before, there are lots of people who have concerns about other people who are memorialized on BYU campus and who are honored. like we mentioned, I mean, our resources are limited, and I think we are pretty practical about the goals that we can accomplish. And this is a good place to start. And this is a doable and a workable thing that can be accomplished on BYU campus.
Cole, what do you think about Brigham Young?
I think that we can't run faster than we have strength. I think what Tristan said is so important for us as individuals, because we do have a lot of other things going on, and we can't necessarily, I guess, I don't know how else to say it, like shoot for the moon. Like there are things that we are prioritizing right now. And I think this is very doable, and I think we need to just start the conversation, and that's what needs to happen. And we're gonna discuss and can have these conversations with the committee and whoever else is willing to hear us out.
Would you like to see, either of you or both of you like to see the church apologize for the priesthood temple ban?
I think that there's a lot that I want personally, and there's a lot of feelings that I have, but I think right now I want to focus on this, because in diving into other things, it kind of dilutes our message. We really want to have BYU be able to show where they're going, and taking a step by changing the name of the Smoot Building is them basically demonstrating their, by a gesture, by a symbolic action, we are going in this direction. We are going to right the wrongs. And I, at this time, like, I think we need to focus on that. And especially because BYU and the church are two separate entities. Like, BYU is as much as they are connected, they do things slightly different. And so I think we're focusing on the building is going to be the most important thing for us right now.
And I would just add to that, you know, I think that a fundamental principle of certainly the faith that is kind of embodied in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as well as Christian faith in general, is a principle of repentance and of change. And I think that, you know, BYU has an opportunity here to lead by example and to embody those teachings, to recognize a wrong and to correct it and to make that change.
A question for both of you, maybe. Have any, or do you guys have any ideas on suggestions for what would be a better name for the Smoot Building? Have people offered suggestions maybe that would send the kind of message that you really want to send?
Sure, I can go ahead. I think that, I mean, ultimately that decision is up to the university, but we would strongly encourage them to begin with a list of people of color and of women. Currently, of the over 100 buildings on BYU campus, there are, I believe, 3 buildings that are named after women. And there are none that I know of that are named after a person of color. So,
like a Jane Manning James Administration Building would be good?
I suppose. I mean, I have no objection.
Gladys Knight? I don't know. So, Cole, what are your thoughts?
I think that when you start talking about renaming, it can get a little dicey because there's a lot of opinions. And I think it also, at the same time, demonstrates the disparity between wealth amongst members. You know, we almost highlight these members who could financially give a lot, and we never talk about those who are able to give a lot through service or other ways. And so, I mean, we can, you know, there are a lot of, we can start with people of color or women, but I mean, there is also the option of not naming it, just having it as the Administration Building. I mean, they've started doing that with multiple buildings. You know, you have the new engineering building as well as the life science building. There's no need to necessarily name it and glorify an individual because it does demonstrate a disparity amongst members. where now this last name, anytime you meet somebody, like, oh, are you related to this individual? And I don't think that really matters on a weekly basis as you're going to church and meeting people in your ward. I don't think it should matter who their ancestors are. It should just matter who they are as an individual. And so, you know, we can always also have the conversation of not naming it anything, because that could help solve a lot of the issues that I think at BYU you feel, because sometimes you don't feel like all the students view each other the same because of the last name or because of this. So that's also an option.
As we wrap up, some students have called for that BYU students before they graduate be required to take a racial and ethnicity class. What are your thoughts on that, or what other actions you think the school could take to make it a more welcoming campus?
I think that could be a really good idea. I think presentation of the material is really important. And I know a few of the professors who teach those subjects or who study those in depth. And, you know, I really do feel like if we were to create a course like that, it could be extremely beneficial to students, because I think a lot of those professors are very gifted in presenting the information in a way that it's not necessarily confrontational, but it's still hard. So no matter what, we have to face the difficult conversation at some point.
Tristan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I can just speak from personal experience that I, in my last semester actually at BYU, I attended a sociology class on race and gender and sexuality and some of these issues. And it really led me to open my eyes. I mean, I kind of begun that process already, but it kind of expanded how I understand some of these things. And I think that is, you know, that's something that we all have to do, is to educate ourselves on these issues. And BYU as an educational institution should absolutely be at the forefront of that.
Well, Tristan Quist and Cole Stewart Johnson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
You two stay safe, okay?
All right.
You too.
You do the same.
And our thanks also to Peggy Fletcher Stack.
Always a pleasure.
And our producer, Chris Samuels. We remind our listeners that they can keep up on all the happenings in and about the church by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Just go to sltrib.com to sign up, and we'll talk again next time on Mormon Land.